condition, my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, welcome to Station Jax. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board, along with Jack Silverman. We have Mr. Frank Fahey calling in. SP Futures up 50 cents. Yes, 50 cents. NASDAQ Futures up 6. Dow Futures up 1. So it's not a rip-roaring morning. It's the week ahead of the Fed announcement, and we've got all kinds of people opining on that, how much it's going to save us. And Frank, how are you?
Good. Tired, though. Still in the midst of this move.
Well, you know, you would think that when you guys moved as much as you have it down by now. You probably haven't unpacked half the stuff from the last move.
Oh, we haven't, because it was such a short move. And this one will be, too, but we're condensing them in one place now.
Audrey's looking for a new spot for you for next year. She's going between Markham or one of those places, halfway to Indiana from where you are now.
Fort Heights.
Fort Heights, yeah. We're not hearing you. Something's you fell off somehow.
Tom, I have a bad connection today.
How about calling back?
Okay.
All right. Looking at the headlines this morning, here's one that's pretty obvious. Boeing CEO says the safe return of its 737 MAX aircraft is most important, do you think? Airbus wins major 100-plane order over Boeing at the Paris Air Show. And this, I don't think there's supposed to have to be a test to be president, you would think. But according to Wilbur Ross, what the man's doing that job, I have no idea. Trump perfectly happy to slap further tariffs on China if no deal is reached. We have a president that, unlike just about every economist that's ever walked, is absolutely convinced that tariffs are a great thing. And I have no idea how he feels that way. I can see them in some areas, and I can see why you might do them for a period of time, but to be happy to do it, I guess it's any kind of revenue is good revenue for some people. Whatever. Just one of those things that I would never even consider. By the way, this was, as soon as Frank comes back, we're going to talk a little bit about this weekend and what was unusual about this weekend. We're finally, I've been consulting with the president of PTI Securities, Dan Howe, my younger brother, who spent many years in the corn pits on the Chicago Board of Trade, so he knows an awful lot more about corn and soybean production than I do, seeing as that was his living for a while. And just to be saying for that, it's not when you have a stock or, you know, an ETF or something, or even a bond for that matter, you pretty much know what you have. But when you trade corn or soybeans or wheat or oats or whatever it is, there's different months because there's different crops. And there's different... And there's different crops where different months where different areas of the world essentially dominate to the extent they can. I mean, clearly the U.S. is the biggest dominator in that market for sure. But, I mean, there's going to be July corn, there's going to be November corn. Actually, I think it might be December corn, but I think it's November soybeans. But see, I'm getting a little rusty on this stuff. But One of them's old crap, one of them's new crap, and there's like a combo crap where some places we've got it in real early, like a September future can be some of the new and some of the old. Plus, you might already have an Argentina pilot on a September contract, or Brazil, or some other place around the world. So it's every one of the crops that are traded at the Board of Trade really is almost a lifetime of knowledge. I mean, it's not the same as if you have IBM, you have Apple, you have Google, you know what you have. And, you know, 30 years from now, hopefully, the company will still be doing fine, and you'll have shares in the same stock. But there's not a seasonal trend, because there's spreads. I mean, if you were to buy, for instance, a December grain, sell a July, well, you're buying new crop, sell an old crop. And there's not necessarily much of a connection there. I mean, there can be for a little while with storage and stuff like that, but it's, you know, that spread could go, it's like a death man spread if it goes wrong on you. So all these different spreads, you're essentially dealing with different, really different underlyings, for lack of a better term. And, so you really have to kind of know what you're doing. Anyway, the long lead up was, to make a long story short, too late, they say, talking to Dan about, since he was in the pit, which is, you know, he's been out of there for 15, 20 years managing PTI. So the difference in the seeds, and really the difference in the weather, when I say weather, I don't mean, you know, rain or not rain or that kind of thing. Between the seeds allowing a corn crop to mature, I'm going to say 20, 25 days sooner than when Dan was in the pit in the late 80s, early 90s. And combine that with, you know, slightly better temperature, on an average basis, has pushed the corn and soybean, latitude, longitude, whichever one goes sideways, up really many, many miles. So, you have people growing corn pretty essentially in Minnesota now that really probably never could. So it's one of those situations where there still are drop dead dates where even if you change the seed, even if you do this, even if you wait till the last minute, that you just can't get your stuff in. Now there's a time when you can't get the corn crop in, and you can get soybeans in still, and we might still be in that spot. And then if you drop back from that, well then, but there's also a problem there. You want to alternate crops because, soybeans add nitrogen to the soil and corn pulls it. So you would like to go one to the other. If not, if you go corn 2, 3, 4 years in a row, the amount of fertilizer you have to use gets higher and higher. So it's a very, you know, this is not an easy, he's just a farmer. Well, that's somewhat of an ignorant thing to say because these guys, you know, they know what they're doing. And, I mean, Matt Weber, who's sitting in here till Frank gets his phone rigged, you're an expert on corn, aren't you, Manny?
No, but I was listening to one of our sister stations this morning, and they were saying the average farmer in Illinois right now has like 1/6 of his property planted.
Well, we were 24% like a week ago, and then evidently a couple of nice days last week, some people got a lot of it in.
So some people brought that number up because they were interviewing guys over the weekend that were saying, you know, I have 950 acres out of my 6,000 planted or something like that.
Well, here's a guy after your own heart. James McCune, a farmer from Mineral, Illinois. Where do you suppose Mineral, Illinois is?
I don't know.
Was unable to plant 85% of his intended corn acres and wanted to commiserate with his fellow farmers, so he hosted a prevent plant party at the Happy Spot Saloon in Mineral, Illinois. And he took all his seed back to the seed guy and said, here you go. Now, they didn't go on to say, no, obviously my question would be, does he still have time for soybeans? I don't know if he does or doesn't. Now, and if you don't do that, I don't know what you do. If you just put hay out there for the summer trying to get something out of the thing, I don't know. We'll have to get somebody on to tell us. But I mean, I'm surprised at what I was saying earlier, man, before you sat down, is there was a time when, you know, middle of June would have been way too late. But these new hybrid seeds and everything, I mean, these guys waited as long as they could, but I had a feeling we were getting to the drop-dead date. Now, depending on the where you are, north and south, I think we're... This weekend was a lot of drop dead dates, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Now, whether those guys, you don't want to do soybeans 2 years in a row or corn 2 years in a row, right? In the same field, or how does?
I don't know exactly, but I know that, I don't know if it's 2 years in a row, if it's 3 years in a row, but I know it's important to rotate your crops.
Well, because right now, if you essentially go out in the mud and try to plant something, even if it's real wet and you get more rain, it's going to wash your seed out.
Right.
So the last thing you want to do, but just the economics of it, I mean, you would say, well, why would anybody, let's say corn's $4 a bushel that's been creeping up. I mean, a lot of times farmers will, this is where, you know, they always bring up the cost accounting thing and everybody rolls their eyes back and goes back to sleep, Manny. But when you look at cost accounting, now if these guys are borrowing, and I think we got to get a couple of experts on, I think if you don't plant, Manny, you don't qualify for crop insurance. Or you don't qualify for at the same level or something like that. Because crop insurance, I think, is when you're planted and something bad happens to you. I don't think you're not planting and qualified, but we will at least at the same level. So I don't know if you know anything about that, but
of course not.
Well, you know more than I think sometimes. So that's an issue. But then also now say for instance you're leasing land from somebody. Now if we're talking about $4 for the corn, well let's walk through the math here. If you in a normal year, it probably costs you, I'm going to say, let's use round numbers, maybe $2 for seed and fertilizer and all that other kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Let's say it's probably a little less, but let's say that. Because these guys, I think, can make money under $4. So if you say that's $2 and the rent is $1, right, you're up to $3. Now, but you have to ask yourself, what if the price is only like, $3.25 or $3. You're still going to plant so you can pay your lease. You know when you plant, you're not going to make any money. Okay? So say the price is exactly $3. Why are you planting? You're not going to make any dough, right? Because if you don't plant, you owe the guy $1 an acre for the lease, right?
Right.
So if you do plant, you can at least pay him off. So a lot of times farmers plant and they'll say, I'm not making any money. We'll say, well, why the hell are you planting? Well, because they have a lease to pay. If it's their own property, they probably wouldn't plant. Or they may say, I'll take the $1. So if you own your own property, you probably can plant even if the thing's $2.50, you can make 50 cents. If you don't, at $2.50, at least then you're paying the lessee, you're only losing half the money you're giving the lessor, you're the lessee. So I mean, it gets kind of complicated when you look at those numbers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't think that essentially you have to plant just so you can pay your lease, even though you're not going to make a nickel on it. You might still lose.
Isn't the percentage of farms that are actually owned by the farmer pretty small these days?
It's starting to get smaller and smaller. You look at what happened up in Minnesota last year with the soybean farmers, with the soybeans, with the idiotic tariff, or in China backing out of the soybean deals. I'm going to say, and this is, you almost wonder, Maddie, as you... are not 35 anymore.
I am 35.
You wonder if this isn't somehow all orchestrated. Not the weather. Obviously, you can't orchestrate the weather, but all of a sudden, you're going to end up with a soybean, how many? 500 soybean farmers out of business in Minnesota, and there's going to be 5 people that own all the places again, just like any other business. In our industry, I'm hoping PTI, I'm not hoping, I know we will. We'll last as long as we want to because we're stubborn. But there's not many of us left. It's all going to be, give me money to Merrill Lynch, they'll do one thing with it, they'll charge a percent and a half or two, they won't do crap, and that's going to be the business. They're not going to want anybody trading. The latest thing is, this is I'm interjecting in my corn story, but now the latest thing is the FINRA has decided anybody who has paper stock, anybody who trades on the OTC market is essentially a crook. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you do some consulting work for somebody, my advice to you, do not take paper securities. Because if it's in the over-the-counter market, no firm will take those securities. You'll never be able to sell.
And that's just because of all the red tape involved now?
That's just because FINRA's decided that that's where they're going. Now, you would think that if that's going to be a law, that's been my point on the show for a while, and I don't think I'm making it correctly. Or I'm trying to be... go around the edge on it, I suppose. If there's a law, if they pass a law against say, you know, well, there's two parts to this. If they pass a law, whatever the law is, you and I can look at it and say, okay, this is legal, this isn't, normally, right? But if your regulator is just looking at stuff, and this is the thing they're looking at this year, well, they don't enforce any of it. Okay, they come down the line and they make the firms enforce it. So they essentially get the firms afraid of the regulator. So the firms may say, I'm not taking any paper stock. And you're going to say, well, where's the law that says paper stock's illegal? Well, there is no law. I just won't take it because I know FINRA's coming down on it, but I don't want a part of it. It is much more sinister than a law. Much more. Because individual people just won't say, I won't take it.
Hmm.
It's sort of like if every time a regulator says, if somebody comes into Matt Weber's bar, if anybody comes up with a $100 bill, you have to ask him where he got it from. I mean, is he a drug dealer? And you got to look at an Interpol thing.
You have to run it under that gold marker thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, I'm talking about, no, not just, is the bill any good, but where'd he get it?
Where'd it come from? I need a paper trail.
Yeah. Well, then, so, you know, and if you ask him, hey, is there a law against paying by cash? Well, no. But I can't seem to pay it anywhere from cash. Well, that's your problem. Now, which is worse? If all of a sudden saloons had a regulator and they come in and they go, geez, where'd you get these $1,000 bills in the cash register? Well, guys came in. Did you ask him where they got it? No, I didn't. Let me see your procedures. Procedures says your bartender's supposed to, did they ask where's the write-up? No write-up or we're fining you. It's way worse than a law, because a law, at least everybody knows about it. And they can say, hey, what kind of crap is that? You can't use a $100 bill, right? And you can actually fight the law. You can't fight this other stuff.
Interesting.
It is an absolute degradation of everything we think and everything we care about in this country. Is the bureaucrat. It's like having there's a court, a trumped up kangaroo court in the Metropolitan Sanitary District in Chicago. If you get a ticket for having something in your garbage that they think is not supposed to be there, you have to go to that court. So there's administrative.
So who governs that?
It's all administrative. I mean, Lou talks all the time about the Department of Labor and all these people, now they have their own courts. Administrative, whatever they call them, administrative something. I mean, how scary. I mean, this is under people's noses. And if you're not in a business where you're dealing with it, you don't really recognize it. But it's like, you know, you've heard saloons, restaurants, everybody complain about inspectors because there's no laws. You know, there's some. But if you say, if a guy will get his, I want your electrical outlets 3 feet from the ground. You put them there, the next guy says, no, I want them 3.5. Show me the code. Show me where they have to be. Well, there's no code. It's much more sinister. It's much more pressing down on you as a person. It's. But I don't know. I don't even know how to deal with it, to be honest with you. But you see, well, you know, you see it happening in banks all the time. Why do you think there's no law that says you can't bring $500 to a closing? And but now the feds are all saying, well, they'd rather wire transfers. This and then all the time the banks, they make it their policy. So how does it become every single bank's policy in the same year to where you can't bring a check or you can't bring a cashier's check, you can't bring cash to a closing of a house in case you're off by $500? No law can get through that quickly. But all of a sudden the regulator is like, I'm only going to go, this is the way we sort of want it with your procedures. If you screw up the other way, you know, if you close a house and all of a sudden there was money in your account from, I don't know how back they go. It's in your checking account, and you bring you wire in the $20,000 or $30,000 for down payment. It hasn't been there for more than like whatever the number is, 2, 3, 4 years. They're gonna say, where'd you get it? And you're gonna say, well, I got it from, you know, my fiance's dad gave it to us. He has, you know. They're going to go back to him, and they're going to have him fill out some huge form saying it's not a loan, you don't pay him back, blah, 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 blah. Now, why is anybody's business?
I mean, it's clearly an unintended consequence from some sort of fraud that was going on, and they rushed something together and put this in place, and not knowing what the resulting cost was going to be for everyone else. And then this type of stuff happens all the time, and we talk about it all the time.
But we've never seen one come back.
That's the thing.
I've seen laws come back. Never seen regulations come back.
Yeah, regulations. They rarely come back. It's just some for whatever reason will get enforced and some won't.
But now you're the one. You're my expert in this area. You're the one that's telling me that wire transfers now are stolen way more than a check, and certainly way more than cash passed from one person to another to closing. I'm not espousing that people bring, you know, $200,000 in cash to a closing. What I'm talking about is a few houses that I closed down when I was remodeling homes. I always brought $500 to the closing. Because in case somebody added something up wrong, or else we started fighting about something, hey, what about the toilet on the second floor? You know, type of thing. And I'd say, look, how about $200? Can we get on with this? And if somebody says, yeah, you'd hand them $200. That's, you can't.
Which is smart. Yeah. I mean, but now you're saying you couldn't get away with that.
No, you got to wire it in. But now, and you'll tell me that the wiring is way more dangerous than me doing that with the cash. Now, why is it that if everybody starts to know that, why don't the bureaucrats say I was wrong? Bureaucrat will never say they're wrong. Why doesn't the bureaucrat say, well, I was wrong, and let's go back to the old way? You can just bring a check.
Well, the bureaucrat doesn't care if you get hacked or your account gets hacked. They only want the paper trail where they can audit everything.
Right.
And that's the answer. It's not a good one, but that's the answer.
I mean, no, they'll never come back and say, well, gee, we were wrong on this one. And that's just not happening. Hey, after the break, what do you say? We talk a little about sports. Let's talk about the should we bomb Iraq? We got a couple guys yesterday saying we should. That's crazy.
I have a quick answer. No.
Yes, I know. SP Futures up 175, Dow Futures up 11. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at LuckboxMagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right
now. Well, on base, Stocks and jocks. I'm Mike. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Actually, it's probably Jack Silverman on the board. Matt Weber over there to do traffic weather. S&P futures up 3. See, he's over here as a guest. Now he's doing traffic weather. He's like Jerry G. Bishop. He's like Svengoolie, for God's sake. S&P futures up 3. Jack, you know who else, who Svengoolie was? I'm thinking no. Up 350. NASDAQ futures up 1650. Dow futures up 25. Moving north here in the last few minutes. Urban Europe got a DAX down 3. Call that flat. What's he down 12? Yeah, let's call that one flat. CAC around up 8. They're all flat. Not much. They're all going on over there. Nikkei up 7. Everybody's waiting for the Fed. When's the last time we saw the Nikkei up 7 points? Flat. Shanghai up 5. Flat. Hang Seng down up 108. Hey, somebody 0.4%. We got oil down again. 56 cents. 51.95. I'm stunned that this is under 52 bucks. With some tensions over in the Gulf. Brent down 68 cents. 61.31. RBOB gas. 161, I think I got gas this week for 269. Last week was 305. I don't think I've seen a 35, 36 cent drop in a week at the same station, like ever in my lifetime, but last week was the week. Gold down 620, 1338 after a run up again on Friday. Silver down 1 cent, still 1478. Cannot stay over 15, even though it dipped up there a little bit. On Thursday, Friday, came right back down again. Whenever it gets over 15, it's like whack-a-mole. I think it'll break through one of these days, but not this week so far. What do you guys got for Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. This Sports Weather Traffic Report is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The guide to money and probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Off to a pretty good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways with the exclusion of the Eisenhower. They reconfigured the lanes over the weekend, and folks are getting used to that. And it's causing all kinds of delays coming in on the Eisenhower. Pretty much jammed up the entire way on 290 heading into the circle. So give yourself plenty of time or avoid I-290 if at all possible. Traffic building on the Stevenson, but no accidents to report. Southside Expressway is looking good. Edens and Kennedy, traffic building as well, but no crashes or significant issues. We do have a crash out in the Western Burbs, Route 53 at Butterfield Road. And then looks like everything else is looking good out there. So weather today, lots of clouds, cold temperatures. We're used to that. A high of just 61 at the lake. Could touch 70 further inland, but much colder downtown, and lots of clouds and fog this morning as well. Right now it's overcast and 55 degrees, going up to a high of 61. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly cloudy today with a high of 104. Right now it's overcast and 80. In sports, Cubs finished up a pretty dreadful road trip against a couple of tough opponents, losing to the Dodgers 3-2 last night. They lost 3 out of 4 in that series after dropping 2 of 3 in Colorado, so a 2-5 road trip. leaves the Cubs sputtering into a 10-game homestand that begins tomorrow night against the White Sox. Speaking of the White Sox, they were blown out by the Yankees 10-3, their second straight loss after they won the first two in that series, so they split with New York, and they have an off day as well before heading up to Wrigley for Tuesday night's Crosstown Classic. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Nationals 15-5 yesterday, so as we take our Monday morning look at the MLB standings, it looks like the White Sox are 34-36, third place in the AL Central, 13 games behind first place Minnesota. Cubs dropped a game behind Milwaukee after dropping the game last night. They're 39-32, one game back of the first place Brewers, second place in the AL Central. Diamondbacks are playing pretty good ball. They've won 7 out of 10, even after yesterday's loss. They're 38-35, three games over 500, but 10.5 behind the Dodgers, who have the best record in the National League. Lastly, Gary Woodland won his first major, winning the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, shooting a minus 13. He held off a late charge by Brooks Koepka, who ended up finishing three shots back.
Okay. Well, he drained that. He was just playing for the six on the last hole, and he managed to drain the long putt for the birdie. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning.
What's
how
up?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. I'm just doing my usual Monday morning grousing over the stuff I heard on the TV all weekend.
I figured when Matt texted me and said, we could use a little help because Frank's having trouble with his connection. I thought after that riveting first half hour of farm discussion, I'm going to come in and be a star.
Well, it is a serious part of the Illinois economy in Indiana.
It is important. Absolutely important.
And if you were to look at, again, this is not, do not trade by this or anything like that. One of the best books I've ever read, history-wise, I thought was Freedom from Fear by William Kennedy. It's a big, long, thick book regarding the history of the U.S. during the Depression and during World War II. A lot of stuff in there you would not get anywhere else, but it's one of those read a chapter, do all the footnotes, go to sleep, next day do the same thing kind of thing. The thing that makes me very concerned, Kevin, is that a lot of what happened in 1929, if you ask people, hey, what caused the Great Depression, they'll say the market crash of 29. Well, in fact, your agricultural area had been in a recession / depression for anywhere from 5 to 10 years before that. And I'm going to say we're probably entering the second or third year of that now. And I don't know whether there is a timing from one to the other you can take, but you have to be careful when parts of society start slipping off, because everything's sort of tied together in terms of, you know, the interesting part of this article I read yesterday about a guy holding this big party in Mineral, Illinois, because it was a non-planning party. I was to get everybody together and get drunk one last time.
They can still afford the liquor.
Yeah, well, they can. Well, he actually, you know, he took his seed and took it back to the seed place. You know, so I mean, it comes back up the chain. It's not just, I mean, it reverberates back and forth. And I'm going to say that tonight there's not a whole lot of people in that bar. You know, so it's when you know as you probably are one of the few people that knows, there is a theme to this show, and it is because of my view of the economy. Everything that happens every place depends on, you know, it affects everything else. And that's why it always frosts me when people that essentially I'm paying their salary don't seem to get that at a federal level. Oh, no, we're just doing this here. No, you're not. Whatever you do someplace pops out somewhere else, right? Or you, what's the, who's the?
It's called the supply chain for a reason.
Well, yeah. Who's the, I won't say Oriental because Maddie bitches at me. The Asian philosopher, no man can do just one thing. Because whatever you do,
who is that philosopher?
You know, I'm not sure.
I've heard the expression. Don't know. Have no idea who it is.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know if it's a Sun Tzu, one of those kind of guys. I don't know if it was in the Art of War.
Doesn't sound like anything about war, so that would eliminate Sun Tzu.
Well, yeah, it could be. So, but I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you can't. The last thing the state of Illinois needs, given the fact that they're broke, they now have a ridiculous new leadership in place that doesn't seem to understand what broke means. They're just going to get it out of people. So how do you think all the new taxes that they piled in on people are going to land with a farmer who didn't plant his crop. Is that going to be like a fart in church or what? I mean, what
you know, there's a lot of people who can leave the state. It's really hard for farmers to do that. But
it's hard for anybody to leave the state. It's hard for anybody to leave the state.
Well, it is difficult, but and yet it's happening, so it must not be that hard.
What if you let me put it to you this way, without mentioning any names, if you were in, say, when there still was a trading floor, and there was somebody who maybe had a few traders working for him, and I didn't do this, so don't be pointing your finger at me, and had developed quite a bit of wealth, say they had a DPM or something like that, and all of a sudden said, well, I don't like the income tax and so forth in Illinois, I'm moving to Florida. Florida is going to welcome you with open arms. It's very difficult if they know you've got dough and have a business here to get out of Illinois. In terms of, you can go to Florida all you want. I want the 5% from your company last year. Don't tell me you're in Florida when your people are still on the trading floor. It's not just they get the income tax thing. I'm out of here, and they say okay. If they think you have any assets or you actually still have business here. They got their eyeballs all over you, Kevin.
Sure they do. But the problem is that businesses are moving across the border, too.
Right.
So, you know, there's the enticements to get the big businesses in, but at the same time, the small businesses who don't get those enticements, those tax abatements and so on, are looking and saying, this is nuts, I'm out of here.
Well, if you're talking about a retired person that has Audrey Seller House in Orland, moves to Indiana, tells the government to switch my Social Security to Indiana, sends a letter to PTI and says, the money you're managing for me, my new address in Indiana, for you it's easy. We change the address, Social Security changes the address, and we're good to go. Because we happen to be registered in Indiana as well as Illinois. But I'm saying, but if you have a business, and they have a hint that your income is still coming out in Illinois, they're on you like white on rice.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
And,
I'm sure they are, but they have this death spiral going, and it's not, and like you said, you have leadership there that is not behaving accordingly.
Well, I'm just saying, if we get half the revenue, I sure hope it's not that bad. If we get 70% of the revenue of in Illinois agriculture this year than we normally get, and I think that might be a optimistic number at this point. That's going to be akin to the Dust Bowl in the 30s. The last thing we needed as a country during the Depression was a Dust Bowl, and that's right when we got it. So the big upstairs doesn't always cooperate. And if the last thing we need is one or two or three years where agricultural income, and what's the number, Kevin? It's like $50 billion in the state? Or if it's a couple states combined, if that number drops to 30 or 20, good Lord. I mean, we're talking about, you know, if you live in Chicago, you scoff and you laugh at this bunch of farmers. The fact is, Illinois is still an agricultural state. So is Indiana, correct?
Correct.
I mean, I'm hoping we're still, you know, 90% of revenue, and some of it might get picked up by the fact if corn, I'm not saying it's going to, if corn goes to $5 a bushel or something like that, those people who manage to get a crop going are going to have a really good year. So the total number might not be as bad as, but if you look at individual people, let's put it this way, the mean might not be horrible, but the median is going to be horrible.
Well, it could be. Yeah, it could actually work out that way. I can't say I've studied it enough to really dig in and offer a strong opinion about how it's going to shake out, other than if you can't plant, it's bad.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting industry, Kevin. I mean, you really would love a massive hailstorm in the state and every farm but yours. Maybe, and you like people's, you don't want them having a bad year, but in terms of economics, you'd love to have your full crop when corn busts through to $8 a bushel or something, right? And you could be the one county that all of a sudden is not as wet as the other counties. Although I think this has been a pretty much general fiasco this year. I'm sure there's places that are not as bad. It's just a little damp and guys got their stuff in. This is the year, if you can get, I mean, when I say my brother first started the business in the 80s when he was on a CBOT floor. I think Kevin, a 200 bushels an acre was a, you know, was a pie in the sky. It was, you know, and then it got to be where a few guys could get it, and then a few other guys. And now I think if you're anywhere in the, where's the big belt of like the best soil in the world, except for maybe Argentina. But it's a little bit of central Indiana, most central Illinois, all the way through Iowa. It's like a weirdo looking horseshoe that comes through the middle of the country. Where if you're in that, right where the glacier essentially dumped all the good stuff, if you're in that area now, I think just about all those guys are pushing 210, 220. So if somehow or another this all missed you, and you've got one area to dodge some of the rain, or you got really good drainage or something, and you and you're going to pump out a 220 bushel an acre a year in the midst of the counties around you in trouble, and then corn goes to $7. Well, I mean, you're not going on a cruise. You're buying a cruise ship, but there's not many people are going to be like that. I don't think. Just saying.
Okay.
But in general, like I said, the last thing Illinois needs is an agricultural recession right about now, and it looks like they might be going to get it, which is pretty friggin' awful. Hey, did you talk about shifting gears? I had a feeling, because I had heard of a couple of stories like this, Kevin, I had a feeling that David Ortiz was really in bad shape. Well, he was. He pretty much a miracle that guy's alive. Did you
really? I think it is, I would say generally when someone takes out a hit, if they shoot you, they're going to get you good. So, it was very intentional, and he probably should be should have been killed by all accounts.
So what's the moral of the story when you saw the video?
I haven't seen the video, so I don't have a moral of the story.
Oh, the video is maybe help me out with this, but it was a video as he was at this essentially bar restaurant open to the street, like the ones you get on South Beach or someplace. And the guy just walked along the sidewalk, and he couldn't have been more than 10, 15 feet away from David Ortiz sitting at the bar, pulled out a gun and nailed him right in the lower back. But those
I guess if you're fighting the mob, it's make sure you have bodyguards and people watching. But how can you live like that?
A wall? You mean a wall between you and the street? You know, it's just saying it.
Well, yeah. But like I said, you know, at some point you do have to live, don't you?
Well, yeah, to be effective in what you're doing, you got to be around. But
and not just around, but you know, you have to go live your life like a normal human being.
So what, he had a pint and a half of blood in his stomach. He had shot. He ended up taking out his gallbladder. He had to patch his liver up twice. He had two holes in his small intestine, a hole in his large intestine. I mean, for God's sake, Kevin. That's something you didn't want to have happen to you 40 years ago in the hospital. I mean,
well, it probably helped his cause that he is a professional, you know, was a professional athlete, because among the things that you get out of that is, you know, when you're getting the fight, you're getting a level of determination, physical, you know, determination that the average human being can't provide. And then, you know, I don't know what else to say.
Well, if you're a big man, two and a half pints of blood is not as near as big of a loss as if you're 110 pounds.
Well, I imagine it isn't trivial either, though.
No, God, no. But it is. There was a boy, talk about going back in the day. My Robin, the lady who's on the show once in a while from New Jersey, her brother was a resident of Michael Reese. And I remember it to this day because I felt so bad for this guy. There was a fireman that was on the 35th Street L stop, like it was after a Sox game or something. Somehow the guy gets knifed in the back. It was almost the exact same spot as where this guy got shot. And Robin's brother is an orthopedic surgeon, and somehow the guy fought the guy, and I don't know, something happened to his hand. He broke a finger or something in the fight. Well, the guy comes in. He walks into the hospital and, you know, giggling and says, okay, my guy's got to fix this up. I got stabbed. And then they operated on the guy. Now, Neil was doing, just putting his finger back together because he was an orthopedic guy. Well, the guy died on the table. Turns out the knife hit his, slit his urethra, hit his liver, hit the large intestine, and hit everything. They get in there and they're going, the guy's walking in and it's barely even bleeding, and look at the damage it did. Well, how many pints of blood later, the guy stops clotting and he just dies. I mean, it's anything like that is amazingly serious, and I'm just feeling real good for the guy that he's going to live to tell a tale. Because, thank God for Boston getting him up here to Mass Gen and so forth. And you know, you want to tip a drink in your hat to the doctors and to put these people back together. Because
yeah. And it is awesome that they were able to transport him and get him the care, you know, yeah. As serious as that was. It's a fantastic thing that he lived, and the people that went after him, I hope they get every last one of them, everybody behind it, and take them out in the street for a public beating before they execute them.
Yeah, it's
but otherwise, I'm not a vindictive guy.
Well, you know, Kevin, I don't know how we got on this subject, but Mark is not doing it today, so maybe we should mention it a little bit. Chicago clearly has, and not just Chicago, we have a very huge problem with crime and punishment. The people who are the criminals at virtually every level are not afraid of the system at all, it doesn't appear. And that's a problem for the people who, for instance, you talk about patching people back together. Year to date in Chicago, shot and killed 210. Kevin, what do you suppose the shot and wounded is number?
Triple it.
906.
Quadruple. I don't know. You know,
906.
It's a factor, though.
It's like four and a half times
a match. It's a factor.
I'm gonna guess if you run that back to four and a half times. So out of people shot, only essentially one in five die. I'm gonna say if you run that back to 1974, 78, 79, somewhere in there, maybe even 85, that's got to be one in three. Maybe one in two and a half. It's amazing how good doctors have become on this trauma stuff. But it is a real issue, Kevin, when you watch. And again, this is, I'm just talking numbers here, and you deserve it because you called in. You know how many people are
that'll teach me, huh?
Yeah, that'll teach you. You know what the homicide clearance rate is? How many people that they've actually arrested?
I couldn't begin to guess, but I would imagine it's pretty low.
8.6.
Wow.
And the interesting part is when you look at the amount of the murders, it's like the police out of 192 murders. The police have killed like one person, one or two this year. I mean, it's one, and yet people are. I don't know, Kevin. I almost think that there's got to be a month where people, my African American lady I've known forever. She works over at the series, and she's my source in Inglewood. And for a long time, she said, you know, it was really bad, really bad. And then she said, well, our area is now so poor, so many people have left. That the gangs have essentially moved further on where there's money, because she's in one of the spots where there's, you know, two houses on the block kind of thing. She goes, now it's back to being really bad again. Where once in a while, once a week, you're going to hear where the thing is. One group of idiots is in the alley, and one are in the street, and they're firing at people through the vacant lots. So if you're one of the houses on each side, you essentially got to get down under the windows. Somehow or another, Kevin, the stats almost need to read, you know, 40 people shot by police last night. Much as I hate the hell this had to happen, somehow or another.
Yeah, but we'd be very that would be all over the news. That
well, I understand,
be a
but I'm saying
abuse issue.
I get that,
and in many cases it is. I mean, sometimes the police are their own worst enemies
when
it comes to that kind of stuff because of the unnecessary things that they might do.
Right.
So I veering way off of it, but I, as I remember it is when Abu Ghraib was revealed, I thought, you know, those soldiers did more to undermine U.S. policy in the Middle East
than
it pertained to everything that was going on in Iraq at the time. They did more to undermine it than anything the politicians could have done.
Well, I'm not at all.
And, and, and I think, you know, I think sometimes you see that same thing out of the police, is that they will do something that just undermines their own cause, right. And that's too bad, because we need them, and we need them to be, you know, we need them for enforcement to be really good at it.
Yeah, I do not have, just because I don't have the answers, doesn't mean I'm not anxious to come up with the questions. Somehow or another, there seems to be large numbers of people in certain areas in the city that think it's okay to start firing guns out of cars at people.
And, and there's really, like you said, there's no fear of the system. There's not really even a lot of fear of getting caught. Because, okay, I'll go to prison for a while. You know, so what? In fact, in organized crime circles, and that includes gangs, to an extent, that's how you make your bones. I did my time. I'm legit now. I'm a legit gangster.
Well, I don't like the idea that somehow we're undermining the fact that the polite society has to protect the good person in this neighborhood, and they're just not. Anyway, just because it kind of.
Well, I may have told this on the air before. I don't remember, but getting into culture and talking about culture, I did some stuff, just showing pictures of neighborhoods with a class, and said, just look at this one picture and describe the culture. That's all. Just look at the picture, and some of them were, North Shore type of places, real fancy and nice outdoor cafes and all of that kind of stuff.
30 seconds.
Describe that, and Gold Coast, and you can describe that, and then I showed a Hispanic neighborhood, and just the places. I think it was out in front of a taqueria, and everything was really colorful, and so you get that type of culture.
Kevin, you got to finish the story.
At one point, I put up a rope line, and one of my students said, "That's my neighborhood."
Wow. Hey, we'll continue this again on Wednesday. Hey, thanks for calling in, bud. We come back from break. We'll have Mr. Charles May, Professor Charles May. SP Futures up $5, and NASDAQ Futures up 25. We're creeping up here with the Fed meeting this week. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happened.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber and Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. We also have Mr. Professor Eric May. S&P futures up 475. NASDAQ futures up 23. The whole world is like darn near flat this morning as we lead into the Fed two-day meeting tomorrow on Wednesday. We're starting to break out here a little bit. Eric, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right. Hey, I got a question for you. I know you're kind of a music guy. My Notre Dame pals are sending around... I guess today is some kind of an anniversary of the Temptations with Cloud Nine. Who else did Cloud Nine?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, mercy me. You know, I know somebody else did it, but I can't.
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yeah, Marvin Gaye did. Oh, okay.
And so did Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Oh my! I didn't know that. I had now Gladys Knight and the Pips. I've never heard their version.
I've got them all here. These guys send them to me every day.
All right.
And a quote from your buddy George Carlin: "Cloud Nine gets all the publicity, but Cloud Eight is actually cheaper, less crowded, has a better view." What do you think of that?
Oh, okay. That sounds like George Carlin.
Yes. For those of you that don't know, Dr. Eric was spent the last week. Which robbed me of a drinking buddy. Not that we go out that much, but usually I see him at least once a week and check up on what's going on in the world. He was off in Michigan, at a nice place, giving lectures on people and how to write. And you're telling me you ran into some pretty nice folks.
Yeah, wonderful up there in Interlochen, Michigan.
And
gorgeous country, rainy and chilly a lot of the time, but it was still a very, very nice country.
What do you think of the? I know you're a history buff on top of everything else. What do you think of the Depression and the 30s corresponding to the Dust Bowl, and all of a sudden we've got a problem with the state of Illinois, and we've got the Water Bowl where it looks like we're going to lose.
Well, yeah, not just the state of Illinois, man. It's Indiana, it's Iowa, it's parts of Missouri. I mean, it's just. Well, you know, the thing about the Dust Bowl was, you know, for a while, that part of the country had been very, how can you call it, verdant, and then it reverted back to type, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know if this is, what we're experiencing this spring is this part of the country reverting back to some sort of previous, you know, almost biblical. I mean, the farmers are calling what we're going through a kind of a biblical season. And many farmers have just never seen anything like this or nothing like this for at least 30-some years. But it you know, so that we don't know. I don't know if it's like I said, I don't think it's a case of necessarily the area returning back to some previous flood-like existence, but it may be another example of climate change.
Well, the
you know, where and the effects of global warming, where everything is now is in the extremes. You know,
well, you read, I mean, talking about everything hinges on everything else, Eric. I was reading about how for those of you that don't know, where the Mississippi essentially belches out into the Gulf, there's always been, well, always recently.
Yeah.
There's this dead zone there.
Yeah.
Because there's so much pollution, some from Chicago, some from other places, and some from agricultural runoff, that the entire part of the ocean there is dead. Nothing can live there because of the algae, because all the, you know, the fertilizer. Well, evidently this year the flow has been so heavy for so long, plus the runoff from the fields in the Arkansas River and places, as it's been record flood stage, that the amount of essentially crap in the river, in addition to the size or the flow, that particular dead zone is bigger than it's ever been. So, I mean, you wouldn't think that, you know, runoff from the Des Plaines River in this area, pollutants that make it all the way down there, are actually causing a problem in the Gulf, but they are.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that it's all this this influx of this water is making barge traffic on the Mississippi almost down to nothing.
Well, there's no way you're coming up river, but I don't even think you want to go down river. How do you stop
that? That's also hurting. You know, that's also having an economic effect.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're having a meeting in Lake County. I don't know what they're going to talk about, but Lake County said we're only in June, and the rivers in Lake County have been over flood stage six times already this year.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, there's one of the stories today is, it's a continual story, and obviously it's an investing story because it's one of the fangs, and a lot of people are involved in it. This Facebook, one of the guys who was the originators of Facebook, now used to be on the board, I guess, is calling for its breakup. I don't exactly know. There doesn't seem to me to be an obvious spot where you'd split it, but my question, our young girl, Jay-Z, Jessica, who helps out one day a week on the show or more when Maddie's out of town, she goes to DePaul, and she and her friend Emma were in. And by the way, Eric, I'd love to have you meet Emma. You would really think highly. She's in DePaul has a conflict and resolutions major.
Ah.
And she's already been, I think, overseas a couple of times working in refugee camps, and she works weekends a lot of times with the refugees that have made it into Chicago, helping them out. And, I mean, just a spectacular young lady. And, she came in one morning and she was out with Lou, jousting with Lou, and Lou's like, who's that? She's pretty much fun to joust with at her age, for God's sake. Lou was very impressed. And, I asked them, I said, why, cause Jessica was getting some heat on the Facebook and DePaul, and we'll go to the reasons, but I said, why don't you just turn it off? Well, we can't. What do you mean you can't? It is so embroiled. DePaul evidently has embraced Facebook right up to the years, to where if you're in a sorority, if you're in this, on any of the teams, even the classes, all the information now flies out through Facebook.
Ah.
And DePaul basically would have a problem if Facebook went away tomorrow.
Huh.
I mean, I never dreamed that some school would get, you know, that up the behind of a company like that. Do you guys do the same thing at Columbia or not?
Well, no. I mean, Columbia has a Facebook presence, but you know, it's not something that's, for instance, essential to me in terms of getting information. Most of the important information that I receive from the college administration just comes in, you know, college-wide emails that go out to everybody.
So, what if you're hanging in the Tripoli one night and somebody walks in with $2 million cash and says, but you got to come give a lecture tomorrow morning, and you cancel class? How do you notify everybody?
I just send them an email.
So they don't do any of that at DePaul. It's weird. It's all
I mean,
Facebook.
If that was the case, I would just, I have, the students all have college connected email addresses.
Okay.
And all you have to do actually is click over to a link that lists all the students in a class, and there's a little link you can click on where you can get you can send an email to all of them at one time.
See, now, if I was doing it, me being the Luddite that I am, I would say that that would make a lot more sense than just tying into some other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but evidently DePaul's all into this Facebook, because all the sororities, all the you know, softball teams, everything, that's where you get every message.
Yeah, well, you know, that also sounds like that's a lot of student life stuff. I mean, you know, Columbia College Chicago doesn't have sororities, and it has some sports teams, but they're not. We don't have. We're not like DePaul or Loyola or in Division One or you know, NCAA this or that. You know, they tend to be more club oriented sports teams. There's a baseball team and a few other teams. So it's you know, Columbia being an arts and communications place. Things like sororities and fraternities and, you know, student athletics are not big things there.
Are you guys into this new
There's some student clubs, but it's not like you find at some colleges.
Are you guys into this, Matty, what is the stuff that Jeff was talking about last week, e-sports?
You know, I haven't heard anything of that sort. Although the college does have a department that trains and delivers degrees in gaming.
Really?
In which students come there to learn how to, you know, create.
I'll bet you guys do have a team. You just
games
don't, yeah.
And that sort of stuff. We don't have, as far as I know, we don't have gaming as a spectator sport.
Maybe I should come back to school there and you guys give me a scholarship and that could be me.
Oh, really? Okay.
Hey, I have a question.
yeah, sure, right.
Hey, I got a question for you. We have a couple of people on the Democratic side, actually a lot, and I know I've shared with you my Chief's three economic things that would really help. I call it the trickle up theory, and of course I can't get any support in any of them. But and to me they make incredible sense. But then again, it's one person. I never get anybody to agree with me, Eric. You know that because you're the one who argues with me all the time. I would like to put a max on credit card debt at 15%. If you can't make money at that, don't give the guy a credit card. I would like to raise the, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you lose money either in a business or trading where it's a capital loss, you can only deduct $3,000 a year for the rest of your life, which is the same as when I entered the business in 1980, so it's pretty ignorant. That number should be like $100,000. So if you and I start, you know, a restaurant and it fails, at least we get to take some of it off and we can try again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would like to drop student loan interest rates down at least 1.5% or something. And I think if you did that, the push to the society would be way more, not just, you know, I'm not talking about what's right or wrong. I'm saying the push to society in terms of instant more people being able to spend money on stuff would be way more than you know, getting rid of estate taxes for rich people. Just in my, but now we've had a few people that have said they want to get rid of essentially student loans. How the hell would that even work? Because are we talking about just the ones that the government has? But doesn't a regular person?
Well, I mean, it used to be that, you know, the government with all things like Pell Grants, and it did a huge underwriting of student monies for it to go to college, and that these grants and things were relatively easy to get. You know, I'm in my 60s now, but I remember as a student, you know, you could get things like Pell Grants and stuff like that, and it didn't generally take very long to get them. You might take a week and a half sometimes for those things to come through, and then the government decided it wasn't going to, you know, it was not going to fund college education at the rate that it was doing it. I mean, it was still doing so with things like the GI Bill, but not, you know, for folks who had not been in the military. And as a result of that, that's when, you know, folks had to start going out and getting loans. to fund their college education, because it was the government monies for it had been greatly reduced. And it was when the government decided, you know, we're not going to, and this happened basically in the Reagan administration, we're not going to fund college education the way we had up to this point. Folks want to go to college, they can go to a bank and get the money for it. I mean, when I, you know, you remember, you know, who at Notre Dame when you were in college was walking around talking about, you know, student debt?
Well, for $3,000 a year for
tuition. I don't remember anybody talking about it when I was in college.
I'm going to say a couple of guys, if you showed up and you didn't have, like, anything, you know, I mean, if we're talking $3,000 a year for tuition and a grand for room and board. So I'm thinking the total value of the deal my freshman year was like $3,500, and by the time I graduated, maybe it was $4,500, something like that. And I'm going to say they put together, I knew a couple of guys that left with, the package was, we'll give you a job in the dining hall, right?
Yeah.
And maybe $1,000, because if you worked there in the summer, hell, you could make $1,000 or $1,500 and pay half your tuition. So maybe between that and working in the dining hall or somewhere else on campus, and maybe $1,000 loan, pretty much all you needed, $1,500 tops, even if your parents never gave you a nickel.
I mean, I knew plenty of people. I mean, I was very fortunate. My parents were able to pay for my college education. And but I knew people who were able to put together, you know, money they got from grants and working, you know, and that was enough to pay for their college education, and they left college without any debt.
Well, I'm going to say, I don't think Notre Dame was a standout in terms of tuition in those days, but I got to believe, one of my buddies went to Western Illinois. And I'm going to say the room and board was like exactly the same everywhere. It was like $1,000. I mean, wherever you were, you ate, basically. The dorms were the same. I'm going to say our tuition was $3,000, and at Western Illinois it was maybe $1,200.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, Champaign was probably, you know, $2,500. Well, no, if state Illinois, if you're in state, it was probably $2,000. So it was probably two-thirds of what Notre Dame was. But nobody was like, well, I guess my point is right now, what percentage would you say of your full in loan wise? Now we're not talking about graduate school. I think that's even different. But I'm going to guess you're 40 to 60% government, and the other, you know, 50% or whatever the addition is, your private loan. So you've got some are like 4% or 5.5% from the government, and the other are 6.5% from private people, and that's your like loan package. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
All right, so if I maybe you borrowed $20,000 from an uncle or something. Now, if I put a bill in to say we're going to forgive student loans, which ones are we talking about? I mean, I don't think that they're going to call a bank up and say, by the way, you're forgiven the loan.
Yeah.
I don't think the government's going to pay the bank, so we're talking about, and I don't think they're going to pay your uncle either. So we're really talking about the piece that is from the government directly. Is that? I mean, what about
it might be that. I mean, different, you know, folks have been throwing around this whole thing, well, folks go to college for free, we're going to forgive the loans, and they don't necessarily always go into detail about exactly how that's going to happen.
Well, a lot of these...
And, of course, as we all know, you know, the detail is where the devil is.
Well, when you know, if anybody on the campaign trail, left, right, or in the middle, if you actually had to quiz them about detail on every utterance that they came up with, their campaign would fall apart in a nanosecond, probably. Because I don't think there is any detail, Eric.
Well, you know, there's the old political thing of, you know, don't give a lot of details until you absolutely have to.
Well, yeah.
You know, don't get tied down to anything until you absolutely have to. I mean, look at, you know, our new governor, who was pretty vague on a lot of things during the campaign as to how he was going to actually do things, or exactly what he was going to do. And he waited until he got into office before he started, you know, okay, this is how we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to do that.
And thinks he has a mandate when nobody even knew what the hell they were voting for.
Yeah.
I love that.
But that's, you know, but I mean, that's been standard political, you know, fair for a long time, which is, you know, be as vague as you can get by with, and, you know, don't start actually dealing with details until you get into office.
So Eric, if you were to say buy a round in the Tripoli, how long does that give you a mandate to talk while the game's on? About 20 seconds?
Well, it depends on the game. You know, Tripoli being Tripoli, you know, if the Patriots are playing, I probably didn't get you much time at all.
No, it probably doesn't get you a second. I was talking to you a little bit about it last night. I was listening yesterday on Face the Nation, I think it was, because that's the one that's here on the radio. And they had a couple of senators on regarding what's going on in the Middle East. And one of the guys, I think it might have been Senator Cotton, I'm not sure, started talking about we absolutely have to do something to Iran, like right now, militarily. God bless it. Are we coming back with the chicken hawk phrase or what?
I don't know. I mean, there have been folks in this country who have been wanting to have a war with Iran since, like, 1979.
Well, as soon as the trial
And, of course, one of the issues here is that our president has been caught fibbing so many times now that there, you know, some folks are, you know, question whether or not anything that's coming out of his administration is actually true. You know, did Iran actually cause these explosions in these two oil tankers? You know, and this is what folks have been worried about from the very beginning, right from the beginning when he was, you know, fibbing about how many people came to his inaugural address.
Yeah.
You know, and folks were saying, you know, you keep lying about everything, you know, basically for reasons of ego, and then when there's a real crisis and you're depending on the American public to believe what it is you're telling them, you know, people are going to start being, are going to start to become skeptical because they've heard you lie so many times. He's been caught lying so many times. And oftentimes, you know, about things that, you know, are trivial. But then, you know, something important happens, and then people are going like, well, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, you know. Plus, there are historical things in regards to this kind of thing, too. You know, Colin Powell, you know, in the worst decision he ever made, you know, going to the United Nations and claiming that Iraq had these are missile silos or something, and it turned out not to be missile silos, or you know, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and other things like that, you know, where something got trumped up, you know, pun intended, to try to get a conflict started. Or to justify a conflict. So,
yeah, he's definitely,
you know,
at the first.
He's got a credibility problem.
I mean, Lyndon Johnson was, if anything, was just as bad. I mean, he didn't lie every day like this guy does, but when it came to the big ones, he was pretty good at it.
Well, yeah, there were certain things that he was saying that it turned out, turned out not to be true. And Robert McNamara even said later, you know, years after the fact, you know, that there were things that they were putting forth that weren't true about the Vietnam War. And then later, when actually, you know, General Abrams got over there and things started to turn in a positive way, nobody believed him.
Yeah.
Nobody believed the U.S. government at that point because they had lied about so many things previous to that.
Eric, how do you, when you talk about differences in people, And how somehow you get immune to things and so forth. I mean, I know that I was never a general or, for that matter, even a corporal or a sergeant or a private first class. But when you make a mess up and people get killed because of it, I guess if it's just a, I mean, war, I mean, those guys know war a lot better than I do, thank God. But if you lied to somebody and then people get killed, how in God? I mean, if you just, you know, you're going to invade Normandy and you have guys that are training for months is to scale the high cliffs, and they do, and you lose a few of them, and you get up to the top, and you find out the guns were moved 4 months before, and all of it was, you know, essentially not worth it. I can roll with that one, okay, because in war, nothing's perfect in war. But if you actually lied to somebody and knew you were doing something wrong and knew people were killed, how in God's name do you live yourself the rest of your life?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how Dick Cheney lives with himself. You know, I don't know how, after going on television and saying that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction that he could activate within 45 minutes, and he knew darn well that wasn't true.
Yeah, it's a...
Because weapons of mass destruction was what got them traction in the polls. That was the one thing that they put out there where Americans were saying, well, okay, then I guess we got to do something. I don't know how you do that. I'm sure Cheney and Wolfowitz and others who pushed for that conflict, I'm sure that they've made their peace with it in some way, shape, or form. They certainly never said anything that I know of to indicate otherwise. But to me, that would be a very hard thing, a very, very hard thing to live with.
Well, we don't have a minute here, Eric, but I don't see how I'm not a military strategist at all. But what we did in Iraq, which the place is basically useless. Syria is totally useless for us. And then you look at Saudi Arabia and with this guy.
And also, it hasn't been really great for them either.
Well, no.
But it wasn't great under Saddam, but the thing is, our reasons for going in there, all of the marvelous things that we claim are going to happen have not necessarily happened.
Well, I'm saying if you look at the map right now, we don't have any friends over there except for Saudi Arabia. And so, I mean, if Iran is somehow hooked up with the Russians, I mean, just on a military scale, I'm looking at this going, this is a tough war. Anyway, Eric, thank you very much, buddy. We'll have you back on soon. SP Futures up 4. NASDAQ Futures up 20. We've been sitting right there after the initial shove up this morning. Come back, we'll have Mr. Andrew Tennant, a new guest. Should be interesting.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, we're up against Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Jack Sobin on the board. SP Futures 250, but just flopping around a little bit positive here. Maybe as high as 4 and it was as low as unchanged. I don't think I ever saw a negative. NASDAQ futures up 17.50. Dow futures up 30. Around the rest of the world, about as flat as you can get it. DAX down 1. Call that flat. FTSE down 11. We'll say that's 0.1%. CAC around up 9. That's 0.1%. So over in Asia, we got the Nikkei up 7. That's flat. Shanghai up 5.2%. Hang Seng up 108.4%. We've got oil down seemingly again, but it's back up over 52. It was under 52 last time. 52.03 on 48 cents. Brent down 55 cents. RBOB 171. It's been down. It's down really 35 cents in the last 6 weeks. And we've got gold down 340. Silver up 5 cents. So nothing much going on in the metals market. Those things are kind of near their high recently, especially silver. What do you guys got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Not a lot of accidents or issues to report on the expressways, just major delays on the inbound Eisenhower as they've reopened a lane and reconfigured lanes over the weekend as they continue that construction on the Jane Byrne interchange that's been going on for a while. And that's as folks get used to that
a while? This week. A yeah. while?
Exactly, a while. As folks get used to that, it's a big adjustment, apparently, because I-290 is completely backed up. No issues on the Stevenson, though low slow travel time. Southside Expressway is looking okay. Edens and Kennedy moving slowly as well, but no accidents to report. So pretty quiet on the accident front, which is good. We do have a couple of issues. It looks like Main Street at Illinois 38, which is Roosevelt Road out in the western burbs, there is a crash. And it looks like North Avenue, Route 64 at Powis Road, there is an accident as well. And then in the city, Broadway between Surf Street and West Wellington Avenue is closed for police activity. There was a reported fatal shooting that happened overnight, and so that investigation continues throughout the morning. Everything else looking okay out there? Weather today, lots of clouds and fog, cool temperatures, especially by the lake, a high of just 61. Could touch 70 further inland. Right now it is overcast and 56 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly cloudy with a high of 104. Right now it's mostly overcast and 81. In sports, Cubs dropped a one-run game to the Dodgers in L.A. 3-2. White Sox were blown out by the Yankees 10-3. Cubs Sox will play at Wrigley beginning tomorrow night. Both are off today. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Nationals 15-5. And Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, shooting a minus 13.
Well, he was steady, wasn't he?
He was. And his first ever major at 35. So I think most people thought Koepka was going to catch him and win another one.
I thought Scott, when he started out the day, he didn't have a chance, and he fizzled. Ustin was right with him, and he fizzled. All you had to do was go into that rough, and you could fizzle easy.
Yeah.
So what was it? How many weeks did they cut the grass? Like six?
They really grow it, don't they?
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
By the way, are we calling our guest, or is he calling us?
I thought he was calling us, but...
Still waiting, then.
Well, you know what? I never gave him a number. I probably should send him a number, what do you think?
Yeah.
Little details. This is what happens when I end up doing this instead of you. You know, it's because you're the guy who usually does it correctly. What are we? 888? God. 76 Jacks.
We can call the guy if we have a card.
We don't have a
card. Oh, I thought you had a card. Okay.
So here, I'll send it off to him. Let me see if we have his number. Actually, we do. Why don't you try it? 224-286-4302. Details. That's why I'd be horrible at your job.
I think you're gonna have to write that number down and Jack will get it.
We can do that. All right.
Because we want this guy to come on. He's an insurance expert, it sounds like, and we'll have all kinds of interesting things to talk about.
Because you know what? They're doing a lot of stuff for people that you would never expect, because they can still get interest when most people can't. Because we had, remember we had Tom White on a while ago, and he was talking about how when people guarantee, if you hired somebody and you guarantee them a contract for 5 years, how people were selling that annuity to people because then you had your money in there, you could pay them even if the company went under, type of thing. So they've doing a lot of varying stuff. And we'll talk to him in a second. My fault. The guys who were about the top 10 in the U.S. Open get you in virtually every other tournament, doesn't it? That's why you really want to be in the top 10. Isn't that part of the drill with those guys?
I think that's right, yeah.
But is the ongoing, I won't say war, skirmish between the USGA and the PGA, is that still ongoing, or they've somehow made up? For those of you that don't know, the USGA runs the U.S. Open, U.S. Women's Open, the U.S. Senior Open, the U.S. Amateur, and like a couple other things, and the rest of the tournaments are all PGA, Professional Golfers Association, and they, for years and years, man, they didn't like each other. So if you did like Olympia Fields did the U.S. Open, I mean, you're pretty much skunked and getting any PGA event there for whatever reason. You wouldn't think there would be that, but there is that competition in golf between the two. We probably need to get somebody on one of these days to talk about if any of that has died down or if there's any kind of a cooperation going on there. Because obviously the Pebble Beach holds what used to be the Bing Crosby. Now it's the AT&T Pro-Am or something every year. So they use Pebble Beach for like a lot of stuff, but it is, the first nine is, I think it's a public course. I think we go out there and play for like $600. So I guess it's public but exclusive in terms of cash. But I'm not so sure. I don't know. I always thought I wanted to play it one of these days, but it'll probably never happen. But anyway, are you with me? Evidently not. Again, we have the S&P futures up $1.50. And I apologize for not having the phone number. It's something I should have put together yesterday, obviously, or this weekend. But anyway, we can, the headlines this morning, I thought I mentioned them, but I will mention them again because, of course, they are stories. The Fed, they're saying this week, nobody's expecting a cut this week, but they expect the Fed to remove the word patient from their description, which would clear the world for a July cut. So, as crazy as that would be, those are the headlines. The other one is Boeing says it'd probably be a good idea to get their 737 MAX back flying. Illinois farmers, everybody's down in the dumps. And Trump perfectly happy to slap further tariffs on China if no deal is reached. So, Matty, I see you're back in here with me.
We're still working on getting Andrew. Hopefully we can get a hold of him.
But how bad did I screw that up?
Made a couple of calls. Well, it's no big deal. We should have asked off the air.
That's because I just assume the number miraculously gets there because you usually handle everything. Let's put it that way. Did you hear your girlfriend, Kellyanne Conway?
Is she still in or is she out? Sanders is out, right?
At the end of the month.
End of the month. And Kellyanne is still in? Or is she going to get booted as well?
Well, she got the thing from... why don't you Google her for a second? She just got... There's a governmental... I don't know. There's a group that looks for ethics. And they're saying that she has essentially violated the Hatch Act on a zillion occasions. The Hatch Act essentially is an act of a... It's a law that... It says if you essentially are working for the government, you know, not the president, but if you're working for the government, you cannot politic essentially on their dime. So you got no business if you're, you know, a staffer to go out and start talking bad about one of the other candidates because you're essentially using your government salary to politic, which is, or campaign, I guess is the way to look at it. So, on many occasions, she goes on these shows and starts talking about how bad the other candidates are and so forth. And so they've given her with all these different... So your buddy, who's the late night guy? One of them. He comes on and he says, what was her job anyway? Driveway of the White House liar-in-chief? He goes, what is her actual job and what does she do other than walk out and lie for the president? I mean, since when does that become a paid job? Like if she's gone, it's not like there's any function that, you know, we're missing. Like if she's working for the Treasury Department or something. Anyway, I thought that was, I still cannot fathom, Maddie, what her marriage must be like. Not that it's any of my business, but with her husband tweeting out about what a schlump Trump is and her talking about how good the guy is all day long. I mean, I can't imagine that conversation every night.
No, I can't either.
Well, the other dude, Carlin and Mary Madeline. I mean, those guys. I mean, he's a Democrat, she's Republican. They're all very, you know, their beliefs are solidly on the two sides, but they obviously have an attraction for each other. And whenever there's a campaign, don't they like live apart for 2 months so they don't fight every night? but at least that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So when the election's over, we'll forget about it. And
well, you can definitely live a life with a partner and not talk politics or. You know, I mean, you can definitely do that.
But
Jill and I don't. We talk about everything else, but we don't really talk about politics.
But if that was her boss, and you see her on TV every day, and at night you're tweeting out what a scumbag
yeah.
the guy is. I mean, Jill has a terrific job. I can't imagine you tweeting out about what a scumbag her boss is every night.
No, definitely not.
I mean, it's not exactly politics, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, it can work. People can coexist with different political beliefs. You know, if you got to obviously hit on everything else, but, you know, I could easily be friends with someone that's, you know, different politically than me. It's just something, you know, you can talk sports, you can talk other stuff.
I'm hanging in there with Audrey. I still don't get that one, but like I said, we don't talk about it.
Yeah. It's too exhausting to talk about it. I mean, over and over again, it's just too exhausting.
Well, plus, I mean, I have to be careful, and I think you probably do too, that unless people are sort of interested, I mean, my job all day is to essentially worry for clients. So to do that, you have to be up on the news as best
individual can. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you should still be up on the news no matter what.
Well, but a lot of people... It's not the same level. And clearly, it's not the same level as us, you know, doing the show. And a lot of people don't necessarily want to listen to me go through a dissertation about where if you take out this little piece and that little piece. By the way, you really didn't get a tax increase. You know? I mean, nobody wants to hear that. They either feel they did or they feel they didn't, right? And nobody really wants to waste a Saturday night listening to me saying, well, you really didn't. Or you really did, or whatever side you're on, or you know, nobody wants the detail. I mean, that's why politicians don't give you any detail, because nobody wants it. Or you don't have time for it. I mean, how is it if you had a, you know, 2-3 kids that are going to school, and you got a job, and your wife's got a job, and you're getting people to softball practice, or softball, a little league, and this back and forth, the last thing you have is four free hours to dig up every week the stuff we go through. And don't think politicians don't take that to a huge advantage. Because they know it. It's like taking a drink out of a fire hydrant. You can't just engage for a minute. But I don't see how the president, he's a different sort of duck. I never watch any of this daytime TV or any of these people at night. I've never listened to Sean Hannity in my life, and I don't miss it. I don't listen to anybody on either side. I try and get to...
I don't either. I can't imagine watching one of the cable news channels. I mean, that's just mindless dribble. It's awful.
But plus, you can't trade on it. And you can't... It's no use to me in helping out my clients.
I don't know what use it brings to anyone. It's not news. I don't know what
it is. You know what it reminds me of? I don't even know if these things are around anymore. I had a couple of aunts, especially if they retired. They were absolutely mesmerized by these soap operas. It's the same mentality.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But how could you possibly be mesmerized by this stuff? I watched like one of those a couple of times. I think I was sick like one day in high school. And I said, what are those people watching? I turn them on and I go, what are these things?
There are people that have that on 24 hours a day. Like, I mean, it's just on. It's just, it's always on. It's really interesting.
But why do they think, and this is the part.
I don't think I've ever turned it on, except, during an election night to see results right as they come in. Literally, like, once every 4 years, will I have one of those, cable channels on.
Why does anybody think that it's news? I mean, hard news.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it tricks a lot of old people, and they have a lot of time, and so they watch it. I don't know anyone younger that sits and watches that stuff all day. I'd like to think that, you know, their ratings will crumble here at some point, but who knows?
Well, Saturday night was interesting because thank God it was my best behavior, which I usually am when I'm driving. Matter of fact, I always am when I'm driving, but. Good thing, because, boy, I never saw so much fog in a long, long time. But anyway, Audrey's cousin, well, he has a sister, and anyway, they live in Seattle. But her husband's the guy who was telling me how he was conservative, right? And I go, it was pretty scary that the guy says, well, you know, I'm conservative. Okay. No, I'm conservative. Where am I supposed to go with this? What does that mean exactly? Well, aren't you? I said, well, no, I don't really have a secret handshake. I'm kind of in the middle on this. Oh, all right. I said, so you're a Trump guy. Well, yeah. I said, okay, why do you like Trump? I couldn't believe it. He hates Hillary, he hates liberals, he hates Mexicans, and he hates Muslims, and he lowered my taxes. So there were four hates in there. four out of five were you know, preceded by the word hate. And I said, well, you know, I'm not much into hating anybody, so, and I don't really like a guy I can't believe. I said, but, it's not like he has done some good things. He's called out some good things and so forth. I'm not so anti, but by and large, I don't think the man's qualified. But anyway, so Audrey's cousin says, well, yeah, he's a retired airline pilot. He says, well, he pretty much watches the news all day. And I said, are we talking the news? He goes, no, we're talking Fox. So, I mean, and I'm sure there's people that watch CNBC all day.
You mean MSNBC?
MSNBC, yeah. I watch CNBC.
I'm sure there are, yeah.
And I don't, does anybody ever give a straight story on either one of those channels?
I can tell you, I've never once watched MSNBC. I don't even know what channel it's on. I've watched Fox for comic relief, like I said, on like an election night. But that's it. I wouldn't know. I've watched CNN, you know, on the same night I watch Fox. I'll flip back and forth on an election night. I've never watched MSNBC.
Well, I listened to, going brain dead. You know you're brain dead when you start remembering, losing people's names. The lady who was on Fox forever in the morning, I remember Maria Bartiromo before her. She was the original one. I used to interview Warren Buffett all the time. I mean, the lady went to Berkeley. She's brilliant. And I listen to her once in a while. I'll see her on Fox and she'll be saying something and she immediately has to, before she signs off, she's got to give the conservative spin to it. Like, God, people do anything for money. Because I got to believe this lady. I mean, you don't go to, most conservatives don't go to Berkeley.
No, probably not. What was the one lady's name that got the big deal to go to NBC. She was on Fox News. Megyn Kelly, is that her name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's doing the Today Show.
Yeah, she was like...
not Today Show. What's the Meet the Press?
Yeah, she was like conservative Fox News lady. Then she went to NBC, and then she was like this liberal anti-Trump person.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, at what point are you just an actress and you're just whatever, you know, you're just kind of doing whatever you need to do to get a paycheck?
Well, I mean, if you're playing right field and somebody says, I'm going to give you $20 million and I want you to play left field, I think Manny becomes a left fielder.
Absolutely, but I'm not going to change my entire like core beliefs as a human.
No,
certainly try not to.
No, it's, well, I mean, this has become this huge blend, and that's, I mean, who did we have? Was it Lou or somebody was talking about how there are news people at both Fox and MSNBC, and they're like kind of pissed that the you know, people think that Sean Hannity's news, and he's not. He never attempts to be. I'm sure there's a liberal, you know, Sean Hannity at one of the other stations that's the same way. I mean, they are entertainment. I mean, it's not like when I was young that when you had your Dan Rathers and your Walter Cronkites and those people, it's not like the 2, 5, and 7, the networks at 6 o'clock at night didn't want to get the ratings for those news shows. But I think by and large, the attitude was, we're going to take 15 minutes or a half hour out of our day, and we're going to present the news. I mean, hopefully, our guy will be a little more, you know, looks like he's more believable than the other guy's guy. But they were all, you know, pretty good. You had Walter Cronkite, you had Harry Reisman, all those guys were. Dan Rather looked like pretty sober, regular dudes, right? And, you know, given the news. But you're not going to give the news for 24 hours, then it becomes ratings. You know, somebody likes this one. You got to make sure that what was Fox's first shtick? They had the most beautiful women ever on earth, and they all wore short skirts, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, but now they've moved on from there to politics. I kind of liked it the other way better, Manny. You know, what can I say about that? But now.
Still probably have the attractive women, don't they?
Well, they do, but it's not the same. Now it's not the, you know, I thought, well, that was better when it was the, anyway. Yeah, but it shows, but it even shows in some of the, what I'm trying to do for people. I mean, obviously reading the Fed now and reading the things is very important for people's, their portfolios. I mean, some of the new people that I have, and I picked up a lot of new clients this year, a lot of the new people own Facebook, you know, and a lot of the people that I have that I put in my Protected Index program, we got an awful lot of QQQs. Now, QQQs is, Facebook's the smaller one, but the five fangs are 45% of the QQQs, give or take a couple percent. So it's not like when I'm asking Eric and people like that about Facebook, I mean, I'm very concerned about, are they going to, quote, break them up? How would you do it? Is it accretive? And if you broke them up correctly, if there was a place to break them, which I don't see, by the way, if there was, I don't know, you could probably tell me, is there a place you could split them in half? It's not like IBM, where when they talked about breaking up IBM 30 years ago, literally half the company was office equipment, meaning typewriters and stuff, and the other half was computers.
Right.
So if you're going to break them up, I mean, there was a line. I mean,
yeah, was, Facebook, you know. You have, you know, Instagram.
Okay.
You have.
Which they just bought, right?
Which they bought 3 years ago, okay. Or 5 years ago, whatever it was. And that's a very popular platform that's just all about pictures.
Now, what is it? Explain it a little bit to people who don't know. What do you get with Instagram?
It's sort of like Facebook, except without all of the news articles and commentary. It's just pictures and videos. So okay. They keep, you know, it's... I think people like it better in a lot of ways because there's not a, you know, a bunch of news articles and, you know, your crazy aunt and that whole stuff. It's people you choose to follow, so it's not friends. You choose to follow them or not, and you just look at their pictures. That's it, just pictures.
No writing.
And videos. And, I mean, they can do a little caption underneath the picture.
This isn't the one where the picture shows up and it disappears after 10 seconds.
Well, and then that's part of it is they also have the stories, which Snapchat invented, and okay. Then Instagram sort of copied that part of it, so it has both. So you can do the Instagram stories, which is a short little clip that disappears after 24 hours. And yeah, so that's one faction of Facebook that you could split if you wanted to, because it used to be its own thing. And then Spotify is the highly popular and successful online streaming service that I've been a member of Spotify.
And what does it stream?
basically every piece of music that's ever been made.
Okay, right.
You have access to for like $9.99 a month. Or you can do it for free, but then they run ads the whole time, and you're not able to download any of it. So you pay the $9.99 a month, which I've been doing for a while, and it's I just have access to every song ever made in the history of music on my phone. And
good quality, I assume.
Oh, it's perfect digital quality. I mean, you can, and then you can as big as your phone can hold, you can download as much,
how much
as well.
The four places you just talked about, what is their size relative to the rest of Facebook? It's not half. What is it?
I have no idea about that. I mean, Instagram is so big right now. I don't know.
Oh, it is big. Okay.
Oh, it's huge.
But what's the revenue? Are there ads on that?
Yeah, there's ads on it. Just like Facebook, except it's just the picture-focused ads. And then Spotify, it's got to be a huge subscribership as well, paying $10. They're actually making money. I mean, they're actually, unlike Facebook and Instagram that only make money off ads, Spotify has ads, but then people actually pay for the streaming service.
Okay. All right, well, the reason why I say is, I mean, I've got clients with this, so it's a big deal for me. I mean, I have to watch, and if it looks like something bad to happen in a place, I got to at least notify them or protect it or do something. Anyway, I got to do my read here. Luck Bike Magazine, The Guide to Money and Probability, is available on newsstands for $7.99 an issue. Stocks and Jocks investors receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. So the Cubs are coming home for 10 days. They better do something. What's with Kyle Hendricks? 10 days, he just...
They said shoulder inflammation, which is not great. So they're going to rest him for 10 days, and hopefully he'll be fine. This happened, I think, either last year or 2 years ago.
I'd say last year.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's kind of their horse. S&P futures now are unchanged. NASDAQ futures up 10. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.